Well, welcome to another week of teaching on the Jesus Way. I don't know about you, but I've loved this series. I've loved engaging in the spiritual disciplines and the formations that we've been teaching into and learning about and just journeying together in our connect groups. I think there's something quite special when God's people engage in practicing such that we've been exploring to bring growth and development to us. Now, I'm also like really aware that actually as we journey through some of these practices, it speaks into our very hearts. It begins to shape us and form us in ways that maybe are surprising. I don't know about you, but maybe there's been some challenges that have come along the way. I can think particularly around some of the conversations that I've had in my Connect group and had with others as we've been centering around what it looks like to form our life in the way of Jesus. And whether it was prayer or fasting or solitude and silence, or last week when we looked at simplicity and the challenge of those things to our everyday life, it's fascinating to me as we explore together what it looks like to walk with Jesus, just how he works in us and shapes us, even in ways that we maybe find surprising and unexpected ways, and seen growth over the last 10, 12 weeks, or whatever it is that we've been in lockdown. I think God has used this in incredible ways to accelerate what he wants to do in and through us. And so for this week, in this part of the series, we want to talk, I want to talk about fellowship, and we will talk together just after this video about what it looks like to be a fellowship of people. I don't know whether you've ever been in a church service and the pastor or the vicar or whoever it has been officiating closes with a word of prayer and then goes, "Now for a time of fellowship." Lovely, isn't it? It's really nice. Everybody scatters, they go and get the coffee, they gather in the little groups, they have little conversations. I've done it, it's not just on them, it's on us. We do that, don't we? And we gather in our little groups or conversations one with another for a time of fellowship. Now, I don't know about your experience of times of fellowship, but very often it's very surface level, which is fine, because actually maybe straight after a service isn't the best moment to get into a deeper meaningful. But actually, I'm not entirely sure that the time of fellowship after our services is what Jesus had exactly in mind when he patterned his life and his way of life with the disciples around this idea of fellowship, because we see it in the life of Jesus. We see it in the pattern of his life and the rhythm of his life that he spent time with his disciples and with people who were close to him, and there was a depth of friendship and relationship there that was different than simply the "how you doing" after a Sunday morning service where we grab a cup of coffee and maybe a little biscuit and we talk about the football. I think there's something deeper that Jesus wants us to explore when it comes to this idea of fellowship. And so that's where we're going to go. You see, because I think the challenge for us is that do we want to be known, or as I talk generically this like wide sense of the church, do we want to be known for the quality of our coffee, or do we want to be known for the quality of our love for one another? That quality coffee after the service, great selling point. Or do we want to know do you want a depth of love and relationship that speaks to the world of something far greater and something far more significant and something richer than we can ever begin to understand or imagine, because it's found in first and foremost of us being drawn into the fellowship of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. As the Apostle John writes in his gospel to us, it's this invitation to the life and participation in fellowship with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so that's the foundation and the basis from which we explore fellowship. It's this participation in the life of God, and therefore a participation one with another. And it's that very thing that shapes who we are and our witness in the world. And so that's the journey for this evening. And I wonder whether you'd want to just turn with me to Acts chapter 2, verse 41 to 47. And this will be very familiar for many of you. I think we've referenced this a number of times over the course of these teachings, but just let me read it one more time. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. The four key things and four key elements that were part and parcel of this early church. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and signs were being performed through the apostles. Now all the believers were together and held all things in common. They sold their possessions and property and distributed the proceeds to all as any had need. Every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in temple and broke bread in from house to house. They ate their food with joyful and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. Every day, the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. It's an incredible passage of scripture, just this birth of the church. And like I say, we see these key elements, and one of those is this idea of fellowship. It's the Greek word is koinonia, and it's a grouping of words that indicate a communion, a shared life, a fellowship, a coming together, an association with people who are of the same mind and heart. There's something deeper than simply an affiliation. I love that idea of communion and coming together and having something in common, as we see reflected in those verses that we've just read. And then if you actually go down into just a few chapters further, you look at chapter 4, verse 32 to 35, says this: Now the entire group of those who believed were of one heart and mind. It's a key element. They're of one heart and one mind. And no one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but instead they held everything in common. With great power, the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was on all of them. For there was not a needy person among them, because all those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the proceeds of what was sold, and laid them at the apostles' feet. And then it was distributed to every person as they had need. And so we see this, the entire group of disciples. Now, that was massive at this point. I mean, whether this is hyperbole or not, but there's this sense of this: the entire group, the full number of the church were united in this. One heart and one mind. And no one claimed any of his possessions were his own. It's this sense of understanding that whatever they had now belonged to God. It wasn't just theirs to do as they pleased with, but that actually there was a depth of fellowship and a connection because of the gospel that enabled them to have a light hold of the possessions that they had in order that other people might benefit from the things that they had and maybe didn't have need of, maybe they did have need of it, but were generous anyway. And we see this development of a shared life together. And so fellowship carries with it this depth of life, a life that is committed to one another. We can't just get that from spending a few moments with one another after the morning service at any gathering where we just skirt around some of the issues. I don't think we will ever get to that level of community and fellowship that we see reflected in these early chapters of Acts, that just through keeping our lives separate. I think, what does this look like for us? Maybe that's some of the questions that we can ask in our groups. What does it look like for us to live this way? A depth of fellowship and shared life together. When we live so scattered lives and independent lives, what does it look like for us as God's people to open up the access to our lives and our homes so that it gives a gateway for a depth of friendship? There's some risks to this that is scary, because it means that we open up our lives. It means that people can see the real us. It means that we open up our homes, that people see how we deal with our kids if we've got them, how we deal with our spouse if we've got them, how we deal with the pressure of life, how we deal with our finances and our bills and look after our home. It's scary stuff, but actually, I think there's far more to be gained through opening up our lives to a depth of fellowship, of communion, of relationship, than staying isolated. I think that there's far more participation in the life of God when we open up our lives to one another than there is when we just maintain our independence from one another. And so I guess the invitation that is open to us as OCC is that we embrace, not just begin, because this is happening, but we embrace it into a greater level. And actually, there's something about the genuineness of fellowship that means that when we have issues and we have problems, when we have anxieties or worries or stress or fallouts, that it drives us to come to the community, come to one another and resolve that because of the depth of friendship, rather than staying isolated and separating ourselves. You see, fellowship means that there's a greater opportunity for a depth of discipleship to take place, rather than just skirting around the surface. You see, each and every one of us have some stuff that we've got to deal with, and the pressure points of life will either cause us to fight or flight or flop or flip or whatever else you might want to say. But there's some human responses to the stuff of life. Now, I would like to think that the journey that Jesus is taking us on as a community is to a depth of communion with one another that is birthed out of communion with God. The whole point of the way of Jesus, the spiritual practices that we've been exploring, is so that we create a deeper a sense of connection and communion with God, and therefore enabled us to have a deeper sense of commitment to one another and fellowship one with another. And so maybe you're watching this and you've not connected with our community for a little while and there's some stuff going on. Could I just really encourage you to pursue fellowship once again? Don't isolate yourself. It's really difficult, I know, but just the genuineness of community means that we are for one another and we love one another and we serve one another. And so let me read these words of Jesus, which we'll just come to an end with. But these are really important words. These are some of the last words that Jesus was going to say to his disciples. These were said in the week that led up to his crucifixion. And so if I've got a week left with somebody, I know that I would want to be saying some of the most important things that I need to get out to them. And this is so with Jesus. He's got his group of, 11 at this point, because Judas has done one. So he's got the 11 apostles with him. He's speaking these words and he says this: I give you a new command, love one another. Love one another just as I have loved you. You are also to love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. This is huge. He says, love one another three times in two verses. You kind of get the impression that this is really important for Jesus. He wants the disciples to grab a hold of this idea. Not just an idea, it's not just a suggestion. This is a command of Jesus. If you're going to be my disciple, you're going to have to love one another and serve one another and commit to one another and live for one another. That's what it looks like. Love as I have loved you, you love one another. How did Jesus do it? Well, he gave his life for them. He laid his life down for them. But in the process, he opened up his life so they could see what it looked like to live this God life, this life that was committed to in obedience to the Father, that was a life of obedience and sacrifice that ultimately would lead him to the cross. And so that's the kind of fellowship that I think the Lord wants to see demonstrated in his church. Not simply acquaintances, people who gather to sing some songs together on a Sunday morning or wherever it is that we gather, that churches gather. And we can't do that at the minute, I know that. But we gather online and so I think the Lord wants something deeper than simply that act of singing together and coming together on a Sunday. I think he wants a life that is demonstrated through sacrifice and service and surrender, first and foremost to the one who gave everything for us, but then to one another. And so the missional opportunity as a result of this is found in verse 35 of John 13. It says this: by this, everyone will know that you're my disciples. Why? Because it's a radically different kind of love. It's a radically different kind of connection. It's so countercultural, anti-cultural, that we live our lives open for one another and serve one another and give one another to one another and prefer one another. I was sharing in our Connect group just the other day just some reflections on this, and particularly in the light of simplicity, actually. And it's interesting how some of the disciplines connect with one another. But wouldn't it be amazing that if, among our Connect groups, say, for instance, one of your group had a need, and maybe they had a need of about £1,000 that it was impossible for them to meet. But the group knew about it. The group heard about it. Maybe the whole church heard about it. And together we decided that we were gonna club together. We were going to put some cash together so that we could meet the need of one of our own. And imagine the witness of that act to the watching world, where, you know, the person who is in need says to their neighbor or to their friends or their family, oh, do you know what, my church or my Connect group, they saw this need and they responded in such a way that it really got me out of a hole. It was just right in that moment. You know, it wasn't necessarily the brown envelope dropping through the door in miraculous provision, but the miraculous provision was that my group got a hold of it. They love me this way. Imagine the power of the gospel going forth in that moment when an unbeliever, somebody who doesn't yet believe in Jesus, sees the way that we love one another and that we care for one another and that we serve one another. And so that's the invitation. That's the call of us as God's people to live that kind of life. In your groups, maybe you can just begin to explore what that might look like practically, even in the midst of COVID-19 and the lockdowns and some of the restrictions we're experiencing at this moment. But what does it look like for us to live that kind of depth of fellowship and quality of life that Jesus has invited us into?